Vahavta l'reicha kamocha. Ramban comments, V'tam v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha haflaga. So initially the Ramban says that the Torah is intentionally exaggerating. Similar to what Chazal say, Dibra Torah b'loshon havai, as it were. How do I know that, says the Ramban? Ki lo yikabel lev ha'odom, it's psychologically, emotionally impossible that a person's love for others should match his self-love. And says the Ramban, this is embodied in a halacha. Va'od shekvo bo Rabbi Akiva v'limed chayecha kodem l'chayecha v'lucha. Ela tetzav ha'tor sheyeh ha'v'chaveru b'chol inyan kashe yoev esnafsha b'chol ha'tov. Rather, v'hato l'echa kamocha doesn't translate as love thy neighbor as thyself, but love thy neighbor in all respects in which you love yourself. So extraordinary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in such a way that our self-love is unequaled by any other love. We, I think, generally think of love in very noble, altruistic terms. It doesn't seem to be very much that's especially noble or altruistic about self-love. So what are we to make of this? Obviously, kol mado avid v'achmanu l'tav avid. So obviously, this is right as can be. This is good as it can be. How do we process? Where else do we encounter profound, deep, intense love? Parental love. What's pshat? So clearly, a child comes into the world first as a neonate, throughout infancy, throughout childhood, until the child reaches adulthood and is able to be self-sufficient religiously, emotionally, financially. So the child is dependent upon his or her parents. And it requires tremendous sacrifice on the parents' part, tremendous investment of emotional energy, of time, prioritizing. So the sod and yesod habriya is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows us with a love commensurate to the responsibility that we have. The responsibility parents have, two children, four children, is very, very great. And hence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in wanting, as it were, to provide for the children, endows parents with this wonderful, deep, abiding love for their children. And that sod and yesod also provides the perspective and the vantage point on self-love. Because when you think about it, Rav Osai, what is a person, what's the biggest responsibility a person has? No one else can make me live a healthy lifestyle. They can encourage it. They can model it. They can inspire it. But in Eina Nidli, Midli, no one else can sit down and learn a Seder for me. They can encourage me. They can inspire me. They can teach me. They can try to inculcate those values into me. But in Eina Nidli, Midli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a self-love because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives love commensurate to the responsibility that a person has. And the biggest responsibility a person has is for himself, because that's the one person that no one else can ultimately be responsible for. In Eina Nidli Midli, ultimately, my children will be independent of me. The parent's role is just to provide the bridge from birth to adulthood. And that's true for everyone. And that's the perspective we should have on self-love. Self-love, again, obviously it's a good thing. It's part of the Ribono Shel Olam's plan for the Bria, because love is the energy source for a person to carry out and assume responsibility. The Meshech Chochma comments in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, commenting on Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shvas Veshona. He's commenting on, L'chor, if you would have sent Yaakov Avinu a piece of mail, so you would have addressed it to Eretz Goshen. I'm not sure which street in Eretz Goshen. L'chov Ho'avos, I don't know. I'm not sure what street he lived on, But I don't know, what's Teis Derech Mitzrayim? So the Meshech Chochma comments, Ha'inyan, Vayechi Yaakov Derech Mitzrayim, Ha'inyan. So first I'm going to read without the brackets, and then we'll go back and fill in the brackets. Sheha'odam, Yesh Echad Shechai L'atzmo, V'yesh Shechai L'vnei V'esa, V'yesh Shechai L'ima, V'yesh Shechai L'chol Ha'olam. V'al Zeh Nema V'tzadik Yesod Olam. And the Pshat that Yaakov Avinu lived in Eretz Mitzrayim means that his hashpa'a was felt throughout Mitzrayim. Yeah, in terms of his address, in terms of where he was registered to vote, so it was in Goshen. It wasn't in Mitzrayim, but in terms of where he lived, in terms of where he was throughout Mitzrayim, the whole famine was transformed. The last 5 years were different once Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim. Now let's reread it with the bracket. V'yichi Yaakov Avinu Mitzrayim ha'inyan sheha'odam yesh echad shechai la'atzmo. In brackets, gam zetov. And then he continues, v'yesh shechai l'vnei beiso. Meshech Chochma doesn't mean that a person should be content only living for himself if he can do more than that. The same way, if a person can teach and he can teach two Talmidim, he shouldn't be content with teaching one Talmud. A person should be looking to maximize what he can give, what he can do, what he can accomplish, what he can contribute. But says the Meshech Chochma, a person should realize that self-care isn't selfish. The Rebbeinu Shalom is looking to provide for every person, for every Jew. And the primary responsibility for every person, every Jew, lies with that person. I heard a beautiful idea, a beautiful Maamar Mokum once from my uncle, the Baron Soloveitchik. He shared it in the following context. After his stroke, which left him handicapped for the rest of his life, but basically with only the use of one hand. So we tend to take for granted our blessings, but if you think of so many of tasks that we do, which if a person only had use of one hand, become just incredibly challenging and difficult and seemingly nigh impossible. So I saw him once after davening, he was wrapping up his tefillin. So we wrap up our tefillin. You hold the tefillin in one hand and you wrap with the other hand. So how do you wrap your tefillin with one hand? But with tremendous exertion and difficulty, he was doing it. So I went over to ask if I could help. And he very, very graciously, but very, very firmly said no. And he said, sometimes a person has to do chesed with himself. I have to learn how to function and be as independent as possible. It's a chesed to help someone be independent. Sometimes a person has to do chesed with himself. And he referenced this Gemara with this Rashi with this with a pasuk in Mishlei. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Zayin asks a stira. Amar Basim Rabbi Yochanan, shisha dvarim. Adam ochel perosen b'olam hazeh v'akan kayemes lo olam haba. Shisha. Ve'elu hein, hachnasas ochen u'biko cholim v'iyon tfila v'hashkamas beis ha-medrish v'hamagadu bonav l'talmud Torah v'hadonas chaver l'kaf schus. Eini, are there really six things? V'ho anan t'nan, elu dvam sh'adam osa osam ואוכל פרוסיהם בעולם הזה וכאן כאן סלום בבא ואלו הן כי ברבעים גמינס חסורים ועבור שולם שמן אדם לחברו. And then Talmud Torah can I get kulam. So other than Talmud Torah, we list only three things. So is it six or is it three? Answers the Gemara, Hani in midi achrin alo, apparently. Three, not six. Answers the Gemara, Hani nami bahani shaykhe. No, it's a question of semantics. The three are categories. All six are subsumed within the three, but really both are saying the same thing. So how is everything subsumed within the three of Kibbut Ova Eim, Gmiras Chasadim, Havor Shalom? Specifically, Iyun Tfila, that a person davens with Kavana. So how is that subsumed under either kibbut av or gemilas chasadim or havar shalom? So Rashi says, "V'ein tefila haynu v'chal gemilas chasadim." When a person is davening, all right, we daven b'loshen rabbim, but okay, we
know who we're davening for primarily, the loshen rabbim, notwithstanding,
we daven b'loshen rabbim. So a person davens with the kavana, "V'ein tefila haynu v'chal gemilas chasadim." Davening is b'chal gminas chasadim. Why? T'chsiv gomel nafshal ish chesed. He's doing chesed with himself. So that's pshat and self-love. Self-love is every Jew is deserving of, needing of chesed. the Jew for whom each of us has responsibility more than any other one, because there's no one else who can do it. It's literally a makom she'ein ish, literally and always a makom she'ein ish, is ourselves. That's why self-love is, again, we know that it's a good thing. We know it's a noble thing. The Rebbe Shalom created us that way. But that's the pshat. The same way a parent has to have this fierce love. Ki azo chamo v'sahavo, a parent has to have this fierce love to carry out, to assume and carry out his, her responsibility to the child. So we all have a responsibility for ourselves. Self-love is to facilitate self-help, which is why something which is a perversion of self-love, something which isn't intended in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, is when we feel sorry for ourselves. We feel sorry for ourselves. We feel that the world owes us something. When we feel sorry for ourselves, when we feel that the world owes us something, so then we're looking for others to do for us. And that's the exact antithesis of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us self-love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us self-love to facilitate self-help. Not to demand that others do. Adarabha. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the self-love because im eina nili mili. It's the perversion of self-love when we feel sorry for ourselves, when we expect and on a certain psychological level are demanding that the world do for us. I think the footnote says a beautiful one. The Indian, in terms of a person being independent. The Yerushalmi has the lashon nama de kisufa, right? Bread of shame. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow Tov on us. So let him bestow Tov on us. Why do we have to have all the challenges and trials of Olam Hazeh for? The answer is because that would be Namad the Kisufa. For a person just to be Mekabel, without doing anything, to in some infinitesimal sense earn it, would be Namad the Kisufa. So the entire Bria, what's the basis for Bria Sa'adam? The basis for Bria Sa'adam is that a person shouldn't just be a Mekabel. As a person should do. The basis for the entire Bria is to allow for self-help. Not for expecting in my as I engage in self-pity and feeling sorry for myself, expecting others to do. No. Just to be a passive recipient, Rebbe Shem didn't have to create Olam Hazeh. We could have skipped that stage and fast-forwarded it to Olam Hazeh. So self-love is indispensable. But as that example of self-pity illustrates, like anything and everything good, it can be exaggerated and perverted and made into something which isn't good. Self-love, yes. Self-centeredness, no. And that's what the mitzvah of Ahavta Le'echa Kamocha is. A person should have self-love. A person should feel comfortable in his own skin. But that shouldn't overflow into a preoccupation, into an exclusive preoccupation with oneself. It shouldn't overflow into self-centeredness. And that's what the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael is to impose boundaries on the necessary and noble self-love. But self-love doesn't have to be and is not supposed to translate into self-centeredness. Tetzave haTorah sheyev chaveru b'chol inyan kasha yoev es nafsha b'chol atov. Everything that a person wants for himself, he has to want for his fellow Jew. You know, the tkufa that we've been living through, the pandemic, has been staggering on multiple levels. There's so much to take note of. There's so much that needs to be processed. There's so much that's mechayev in the cheshbon nefesh. The reality of the pandemic, it's so hard to speak these words because it's so A, beyond belief, and B, excruciating to have to acknowledge it. But the reality of the pandemic is that to a large degree, the magnitude of suffering and the amount of death has been self-imposed. Every epidemiological study says the same thing. With the proper preventive measures, if they would be practiced and adopted and practiced universally, not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who died would not have died. It's a terrifying, terrifying truth. But the fact that it's terrifying doesn't mean that it's not true. One of the factors, not the only factor, not the only factor, but one of the factors, and the leading factor, again, not the only factor, but a leading factor in why the behavior which could have dramatically, dramatically, dramatically downsized the catastrophe and the tragedy that the pandemic has been. One of the leading factors has been selfishness. People make a cheshbon as follows. The cheshbon is, I am fill in the blank, so many years old. Fill in the blank. I'm in good health, without any pre-existing conditions. The chances of my suffering from a severe
form of the virus, of being impacted severely, is quite small. The chances of the virus being fatal for me are even smaller. So it's just not worth the disruption. It doesn't justify the disruption to my life. It doesn't justify my not going to a restaurant. It doesn't justify my not going to a bar. It doesn't justify my not getting together with friends. It doesn't even justify my wearing a mask. And let's assume, not because it's necessarily true, but let's assume, for argument's sake, that that calculation on a personal level is accurate. So the answer is, to each of us who thinks in that way, when we look in the mirror and we make that calculation, so what we have to respond to ourselves is, it's not about you. A person doesn't have to wear a mask because he thinks he's vulnerable. A person doesn't have to adopt other public health measures because he thinks that he personally is at risk. A person doesn't have to make changes in his life because he's worried about himself. He has to do it because it is absolutely inevitable that if we all don't do it, people will die. And not one person, and not 10 people, and not 100 people. They're expecting another 200,000 fatalities in this country. And one of the leading factors, not the only factor, but one of the leading factors is selfishness. It's beyond comprehension. Ad kedei kach. You listen to the news, you hear people talking self-righteously about their constitutional rights. And in whatever state they're in, they're railing against the governor and his tyranny in closing down a restaurant, in closing down a bar, in introducing a mask mandate. It's staggering the degree to which American society is so self-absorbed and so self-centered. So much so that as long as I don't feel threatened by my behavior, that's the only standard. So it's the only way I need to measure and gauge whether what I'm doing is reasonable. Staggering. But it's true. Now, maybe we should push back a little bit and say, no, it's not that people are being so coldly, calculatingly self-centered. It's just that they're not thinking about it that way. They don't realize that if they get sick asymptomatically, that they're a link in a chain. Which results in other people getting sick and dying. It's not that they're dismissing that, they're just not thinking about it. So it's clear what the response to that is. That's also selfishness. If I assess a situation only
in terms of its impact upon me, even if it's just out of neglect, even if it's only out of hesach hadas from everyone else, it's also staggering selfishness and self-absorption. In every other context, society, almost every other context, not every other context. In most other contexts, society has no tolerance for innocent loss of life. But when the innocent loss of life is just due to selfishness and self-absorption, we need to understand what we're seeing around us, what we have been seeing for the past several months. The CDC pleaded with people not to travel for Thanksgiving, and some listened, but tens of millions didn't. Selfishness isn't the only factor. There are other factors, but selfishness is a serious factor, a serious contributing factor. We need to be aware of what we're seeing. We need to understand what we're seeing. And when we need to engage in cheshbon nefesh to make sure that hasn't infiltrated our society. We need to look and ask ourselves, is it only in general society that I see it? Or do I see it closer to home? Do I see it when I look in the mirror? And as we ask ourselves the question, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answers are. We all need to think about it and try to figure out what the answers are. But as we ask ourselves the question, it's not all or nothing. The selfishness that we're monitoring for doesn't have to be in the extreme ugly way that it's been manifest. It can be in more subtle ways, less devastating ways, but that doesn't mean we should be complacent about it if that's all we find. You know, as the promise, Be'ezras Hashem, halavai that it's going to happen as anticipated. But as the promise of vaccines bringing the pandemic to an end, all God tell from that happens as is expected, there should be a sense of urgency in our part. A sense of urgency to ensure that we don't walk away from this pandemic, the same way we were last Rosh Chodesh Adar. That's not something we can allow to happen. And in that sense, the fact that the light appears at the end of the tunnel should give us a sense of urgency. That at the very least, we need to walk away differently than we entered. And inshallah, good Shabbos. Be well, be safe, and listen.